Hey, this is Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops, tuning in, coming to you from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and wanted to get a quick video in between my travels, updating you on some transaction trends so you can be on the lookout from the games that happened here on Christmas, just the players that are being picked up quickly so we can look into why they're being picked up and if maybe they're available in your league. If they fit in what you're doing, with what you're doing, if there's somebody that you want to consider. So that's what this video is going to be about today. As you can see, number one on that list is Nicholas Batum. Nicholas Batum at 13 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and a block. Hit 2 3-pointers, shot 62%. And with Kawhi Leonard getting elbowed in the face by Serge Ibaka and potentially being out sometime, Nicholas Batum is going to have some short-term value. And if he's a starter, he may have some season-long value. It looks like he's, as you can see, the game before that, he had 6 assists as well, so he may be worthy of consideration in 12-team leagues. If you have a streamer spot or just some dead weight at the end of your bench and you want to take him up, pick him up as a flyer, he may be worthy of your time. Mason Plumlee's also being picked up quickly because of his performance on the 23rd. We talked about it last video, 14-8-6. Looks like he's going to get a lot of minutes, and as a big man that can get you assists and occasionally get you blocks, and look at that field goal percentage, that's almost an 88% field goal percentage. That can definitely help you. Again, if you have some dead weight at the end of your bench, if you have like an Ivica Zubac type player, I would probably rather have Mason Plumlee. Harrison Barnes had a really strong game against Denver on the 23rd, 21 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. And he's going off of the waiver wire pretty quickly. So if you are in need of a scorer, it looks like he's going to have a large role. He's getting a lot of minutes. Don't ever expect a whole lot of steals and blocks, but a very nice game from him. And if he's on your waiver wire and you're in the 12-team league, again, if you have one of those dead weight type players at the end of your bench, he's worthy of consideration. Lonnie Walker Jr. Got 34 minutes in his last game. We didn't see him getting a lot of minutes in preseason, and this is what happens. We can't put too much credence into preseason, and this is a situation like that where he's now getting significant minutes and looks like he's going to have a very large role. He should still be available on a lot of your waiver wires, so he's another one in a 12-team league. If you want to take a flyer and you think he can continue getting minutes, if he's getting minutes, as you can see here, he got you 3 3-pointers, a steal, a block, only 1 turnover, 16 points. That's a very nice stat line from him, showing his potential. He's a very young player. He could still develop and be a great contributor for your team, and he's available on the waiver wire now. So this may be the time to pick him up. Patrick Williams, somebody else that we've discussed a lot, just another dynamic rookie. As you can see here, had that 3-pointer on the block last time, and that is why he's flying off of the waiver wire. I would definitely pick him up in a 12-team league with my last spot and give him a chance. Those young players, especially when they have a role and you know they're getting minutes and they're contributing in the minutes they're getting, at that point, that's where I like to pick them up and see if they can lead me to some success. Always buy low, sell high. That's the mantra. Speaking of buying low, we're selling low here with Daniel. Just hasn't been great, and I was never very high on him anyways. He was like a low upside pickup for me whenever I did pick him up. I've already dropped him in a few leagues, and if you feel you need to move on, I wouldn't hold it against you. I've moved on in several of the leagues in which I had him. If you have Mason Plumlee on your waiver wire, he may be worthy of consideration. Jeff Teague, after having a very strong first game, had a not so nice second game, and you can see he's being dropped very quickly. But don't forget that first game he had. So if he's being dropped to your waiver wire and you're in need of a point guard and somebody's already throwing him aside because he had that bad game, he's still got 21 minutes. And I don't think he's going to be that bad every single game. I think he has some upside and opportunity while Kemba Walker's injured. So if he's in one of those leagues, if you're in one of those leagues where he was dropped, I would pick him up. Josh Jackson is being picked up quite heavily as well. And that is because he got 29 minutes that first game on the 23rd. had 19 points, made 3 three-pointers. He was a high lottery pick, a guy who came into the league with a lot of upside. A lot of people felt he did not meet his potential, and he bounced around a few teams. But now he's on the Detroit Pistons team where maybe it's his time to shine. If he lives up to a portion of that potential people believed he had, he could be a very usable fantasy player. So this is the time to go ahead and pick him up if you believe that he can continue getting minutes in the 25 to 30 range. I think it's very much a possibility, and he may beat out Dellen Wright for the role, or they just may work together. But he's definitely worthy of picking up right now. Dorian Finney-Smith is a guy we've talked about as a deep sleeper, and he's showing why. 2 three-pointers, 3 steals, only 1 turnover. Really useful numbers that help you a whole lot. He's available on a lot of waiver wires. He's definitely a guy that can round out your team and just help you in a few key areas. He's never going to be a scorer that's going to blow you out of this world, but it's not rare for him to get a good amount of rebounds. And as you can see here, he's been getting you steals. Somebody at the very least to consider a streamer on your team. Shake Milton is another player I'm telling you need to go ahead and pick up. I spoke very highly of him during preseason. It looks like he's going to have a solidified role. He got 30 minutes, even though he's coming off of the bench. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. They believe in him. He's impressing, and I think he's going to impress you. I've picked him up on several of my teams, and I think it's time you pick him up as well. If he happens to be available, he's going to hit a whole lot of three-pointers for you. He's going to score. He's not going to get you a whole lot of steals and blocks, but I think he's going to be a very, very useful fantasy player. Very excited to have him on my team and to continue having him on my team. Alec Burks is another player that's probably available on your waiver wire, who has a lot of opportunity, has a starting role on the New York Knicks, and is a guy that can score. As you can see here, he had a really good game, made a lot of his free throws, the 2 three-pointers, got you a steal and a block, only 1 turnover. He's probably another guy that you could pick up and can help your team right now, especially if you're in a deeper format. I know in a rougher, tougher league, he's probably not available at this point, but it doesn't hurt to check. Malik Beasley's being picked up rather quickly. He had a really strong game on the 23rd. There's some concerns that he's going to be suspended. I was able to get him in my 16-team league where I picked at 16, so I had the number one waiver, and I used my number one waiver to pick up Malik Beasley. People were afraid that he was going to be suspended. I think that's what happened in this situation. So if he happens to be on your waiver wire, go ahead and pick him up. He had a very strong game. He looks like he's going to have a starting role and be a big part of what they're planning over there in Minnesota. So pick him up if he gets suspended later on. As the blurb says, it won't hurt you too much to move on. But for now, he's producing. He's not suspended yet. Cross that bridge when you get to it. Daniel House Jr. is going to be the starting small forward for Houston during the season opener. And I expect him to be a starter for the majority of the season. And if he's getting those starter minutes, he's going to help your team. We've discussed this in the past. I believe it 100%. He's a guy, as we've always said here, he can get you 3-pointers. He can get you some steals. And he can get you some blocks. And just a sprinkle of other production in the other categories. I'm a big fan of his, especially securing that starting role. I think he's going to do a great job. So if he's on your waiver wire, somebody you also should pick up. After 2 average games, Maxi Kleber has a lot of people dropping him and moving on. Not the most amazing production, but there's some things I'm already seeing here that I like. So the 1 three-pointer, the 2 steals, 50% from the field, made all of his free throws, even though it's not a pretty stat line because of what he is only getting 5 points. That is useful numbers right there, and this is an off game for him, so imagine what the good games look like. I'm not moving on from Maxi Kleber yet. If I see him on the waiver wire and getting dropped, I'm going to pick him up because I think at some point he's going to get it going and he's going to help my fantasy team. Normally I have a strong enough fantasy team that I can weather the storm, and even then he's not hurting me all that much. He's not doing the production I want to see from him. I want to see more points than 5, but all things considered, in 20 minutes, that's a very, very helpful stat line he had there. Tristan Thompson played his second game on Christmas. 8 points, 8 rebounds. Made only 38% of his shots. He had a block and only one turnover. And I don't want Tristan Thompson unless it's a very deep league. And if like rebounding and offensive rebounding are two separate categories, then maybe in that situation I would value him more. But for the most part, I find him to be a fantasy player I don't really care to have on my team, at least for right now. Bismack Biyombo is being picked up because of the injury to Cody Zeller. I myself picked him up in a league that has rebounding and double-doubles. I'm hoping as a starter, and as you can see here, he has been named the starting center for Saturday night's game, hoping that as a starter, he's getting me double-digit rebounds potentially and occasionally a block or two. In this league, that's something that I value a lot. So with, I believe I dropped Gary Harris to pick him up. So if you're in a similar situation, you may want to consider Bismack Biyombo. He's not going to blow you away, but there have been times over the last few years where he gets those minutes and he's getting 11, 12 rebound games back to back to back. And that can be very, very helpful, especially if you drop some dead weight at the very end of your bench. Definitely a quality streamer if you're trying to win rebounding and aren't too concerned about your points. So the transaction trends show some people moving on from Ivica Zubac, a different situation like Maxi Kleber, where the production looks boring, but all things considered, made all of his shots, had 12 points. The block is nice. The 19 minutes is the most concerning part. You wish to see him get more playing time, and he may be getting more playing time with the injury to Kawhi Leonard. That may open some more playing time. I still would pick him up if he's dropped in your 12-team league. I think he's a low-end center at best, but if you need a fourth big, he's one that's going to help you more often than he's not going to. And sometimes with just these lower-end bigs, you have to have a few boring games, but there'll be a sprinkle of really nice games where he's going to get you some rebounding and some blocks and really nice percentages. And if I'm, again, just really in need of a big until I could get something better, I think he's a pretty great placeholder big. Spencer Dinwiddie has not been off to a great start. The two steals and the block is nice. The field goal percentage, not nice at all. And for a guy you really count on to be a scorer, he only got 6 points. It looks like while the Nets team is at full health, he's pretty low on the pecking order and just isn't going to have the opportunities to help in the ways he's helped in the past. Can he be better? I think he can. I would prefer him in a situation where maybe I have Kyrie, because in a situation where Kyrie gets injured, I think he slides over and takes more of a Kyrie role, which would open up more opportunity for him to produce more along the lines of what we've seen from him in the past. So a handcuff to Kyrie Irving, I could see that being a pretty good fit. But even then, there's just probably better options at the moment, making him not worthy of having, at least right now. Dylan Brooks is somebody else who may be available on your waiver wire at 16 points, 6 assists, 2 steals back on December 23rd. We're going to see him play again today. Excited to see that. I think he's going to continue to have a very strong season. He's definitely based on preseason, and this first game looks like he's going to be a much more helpful fantasy player than he's been in the past. I hope to see that. I picked him up late in a lot of my drafts, and he may be available on your waiver wire. Somebody else you may want to consider is JaVale McGee if you're in need of a center that can get you some blocks and a high field goal percentage. As you can see here, he got 19 minutes on December 23rd. He's probably available in the majority of your leagues. If you're in a deeper format, he's somebody to consider if you need a big man. And if you're in need of a desperation big in the 12th, if you're in need of a desperation big man in a 12-team league, I would also consider him there. Terrence Ross had a strong game on the 23rd, had 3 three-pointers, 19 points. And that's normally what you're going to get with him. You're going to get a lot of threes, you're going to get points, not a whole lot of anything else. If you like that sort of production and you need some three-pointers and just a guy who can go off for 25 points one night and then maybe 8 points the next night, Terrence Ross is your guy. If he's on your waiver wire and you're okay with that sort of production, definitely somebody you want to consider. Somebody who may be presenting some buy low opportunities is Brook Lopez. he's still getting you blocks. He's still getting you good percentages, and the blocks are so valuable. But people don't really like a guy just scoring 8 points and four rebounds, even with the blocks there. So if you're in need of a guy that can get you some blocks on decent percentages and can hit some three-pointers, and you think he can do better than he's doing now, Brook Lopez may be a good trade target for you now. So go ahead and make an offer for him. You may not have to offer a whole lot, especially if you have a guy who had a really strong game to start the season that you don't value as highly as you would value Brook Lopez. And people are moving on from Talen Horton Tucker mania. He hasn't gotten a whole lot of minutes, and that was our concern when the regular season came around, that he wouldn't get a whole lot of minutes. I've mostly moved on wherever I had him. I didn't keep him in a really deep format, like a 20-team league. But outside of that format, I don't have him on any of my rosters. And it's probably best to move along unless you see some injuries to some starters on the Lakers. Marquese Chriss is a guy who you may find on your waiver wire, who only needs 15 to 20 minutes to really help you. He can hit three-pointers and he can get you some blocks. And since he hasn't been scoring a whole lot and those box score lines are pretty boring, he may be dropped in some of your leagues. I think if you're in a deeper format, he's worthy of picking up. I try to pick him up on waivers, but since I had my Malik Beasley pickup, I used my first waiver on, I didn't have the waiver available to be able to pick up Marquese Chriss, but I would have definitely picked him up in this deep 16-team league that I'm doing. Gary Harris got 22 minutes on the 25th and had 2 points and just couldn't deal with that box score line. I dropped him, moved on from him where I had him. I'm gonna have to see him have a nice game or two. He's not, you know, part of me was holding on to the past, just the Gary Harris I used to know, but unfortunately he's no longer that Gary Harris. So I can't fool myself into thinking that he is, and I have to move on and cut. Unless you're in a really deep format, it may be time you cut bait too. Enes Kanter got 26 minutes on December 23rd, and that's why he's getting some pickups. Outside of a very deep format, I probably wouldn't pick him up just because Robert Covington had an off game. There weren't a whole lot of minutes for Nurkic during that game. So personally speaking, unless it's a deeper format, maybe 16 teams or more, I wouldn't pick up Enes Kanter. I just think there's too many big men there who are going to be getting more minutes, and his lack of defense is going to get him exposed. And he'll have a lack of minutes because of it. That's my prediction. If you see him continue to get minutes in the 20 to 25 range for over two or three games, then that's a consistent pattern that you may want to rely on. And then at that point, I would probably start considering to pick him up. Another buy low candidate you may want to target is Kelly Oubre. Kelly Oubre is somebody I drafted on a few teams. I didn't draft him a whole lot in my mock drafts, but then later on, he just seemed desirable where he was available. Very two rough games, but those games came against Brooklyn and Milwaukee. Just not too easy teams to face off with to start your season. Just very rough production. Not definitely anything close to what was expected when you're picking him in that 60 to 70 range. I'm not moving on yet, though. He showed last year the flashes of greatness that he has. He also showed those flashes of greatness with the Wizards. I think he's going to get it together. He's playing, especially once Draymond Green is back. We have some hope that the Warriors offense will be able to flow better and he'll be able to fit in better. But so far, him and Andrew Wiggins have been just dreadful, dreadfully, dreadfully bad, terrible. But now may be the time to send a buy low offer for Kelly Oubre. I would definitely consider sending, I don't know if a Dylan Brooks type player will get it done, but he's doing so poorly that you could probably offer a worse player than you would have been able to a few days ago. So try to figure out what that player is. Maybe there's a player on your team that's a nice fit on their team that you drafted a few rounds later. Maybe they still believe in Kelly and won't want to give him up easy. Or maybe they think, this guy's awful. Yes, I want to get him off of my hands immediately. And you may be able to take him onto your team. And hopefully your calculations that he ends up doing better, my calculations that he ends up doing better, end up being accurate. That is my hope. Lou Williams had 24 minutes, only had 8 points. The 2 3-pointers is nice. The steal is nice. Only 1 turnover. When it comes to Lou Williams, that's about half the amount of scoring that we want to see. He's probably not going to be much more than a low-end point guard this year. It does look like he may be being used differently than he has been used in the past. And because of that, we can probably not expect the same type of production. It's probably safe to assume that on occasion he's going to drop 20, 25 points. But I also think on occasion he's going to be dropping these 8 to 10 point games. And he's just not as desirable on my roster when he's only having those 10-point games, because I'm going to get a lot more steals and assists from him in order to really justify that, in my opinion. Aaron Baines almost had a double-double on the 23rd, which means you should probably consider picking him up again as a low-end big if he happens to be on your waiver wire, which he should be available on a good amount of your waiver wires. If you need a low-end big who can get some rebounding, can hit some three-pointers, as you can see here, and he's going to get you a block or two every other game. That's the sort of production you can expect from him. He looks like he's going to have a secure role in Toronto, and there's some good players around him that can get him the ball, and I see him having a pretty good season. So he's somebody I would consider picking up, again, as a low-end big. If he's your best big, you're probably punching your big man stats at that point. So hopefully he's not your best big, but if he's your third or fourth big, that's probably a little bit. All right, so as part of this, I also wanted to go over some of the games, just some quick notable performances that we can discuss that just stick out. Zion Williamson with 13 points, 14 rebounds, made 11 of his 20 shots. Beasting, the minus 13, that part, not as much beasting, so there may be an issue there. We did get plus 2 from Brandon Ingram, who had 28 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. The field goal percentage, not great. I expect to see that higher usually. The 4 out of 8 3-pointers, definitely very nice. As long as he's hitting that many 3-pointers, and then he starts getting more steals and blocks than he got you that game, he's going to be a very helpful fantasy player. The 4 turnovers, though, pretty high. Hopefully we can get it lower than that. Steven Adams hasn't been scoring a whole lot, but has been rebounding, has been getting you steals, and has been getting you blocks. If he's like your third big, I think that's a good position to have him. As a second big, maybe, but I think as your third big is the ideal spot for him, and hopefully you have 2 bigs better than him, ideally, unless you have a format where it's just not ideal to have a lot of bigs. Lonzo Ball, now we're seeing the lower, more hurtful percentages. He shot 2 of 8. Looks like he took all 3-pointers, shot 25%. The 6 assists, the 2 steals, and the block, that's nice. Like to see that, but I don't like the dreadful percentages. I'm assuming some point in a month or two, he'll be closer to midseason form, and we'll see better percentages than we have in the past. So I'm definitely not moving on from Lonzo Ball. I still expect him to be a very dynamic unicorn type point guard. Eric Bledsoe had a rough game, somebody I've advocated strongly for. 5 points, 6 assists, definitely like that, though only the 2 of 10 shooting, not a fan of that whatsoever. JJ Redick, 1 of 7 shooting, and that's why I told you guys not to rush to pick up JJ Redick. A rough game after having a good one to start the season with. Somebody I would recommend picking up is Josh Hart at 12 points, 9 rebounds, made 5 of his 10 shots at 2 3-pointers, and he's somebody that's probably available to you on your waiver wire. Jimmy Butler hurt his ankle and left this game early, only played 16 minutes. Had some pretty nice production in the minutes he played. I am concerned for the ankle, the fact they had to pull Jimmy out. Jimmy's usually a tough player, so it had to be pretty bad ankle stiffness for him to not finish the game. Hopefully he's not injured too long. I did try to trade him away in a few leagues that I was in. I am a bit concerned about an injury this early into the season, especially a guy like Jimmy that's played a whole lot of miles so far. He tends to be one of the league leaders in minutes played, and he plays hard. He played in the bubble, played for a while. So just something to keep in mind. Myers Leonard, Got 19 minutes, had three pointers, and as a big man who can hit threes, he's probably somebody to keep an eye on in a 20-team league. If he's available and you need a big man, he's probably worth the streamer. If he's getting minutes, he's going to hit some three-pointers, and on occasion, he can get some blocks. Duncan Robinson hit 7 of 13 three-pointers for 23 points, and wow, that's just an amazing performance from him. 7 of 13 three-pointers, just a beastly three-point shooter. He took full advantage of Jimmy Butler not playing. And I may be wrong about my statement that Joe Harris is a better shooter, because Duncan Robinson putting up a performance like that, quickly shutting my mouth up. Tyler Hero made only 3 of his 10 shots, and I wasn't super excited about him as a prospect. He's probably going to have better games than this, but I think he's going to be a streaky scorer who isn't going to get you a whole lot of steals and blocks, which means I don't value him as highly as maybe some other people do. Goran Dragic, though, has been a revelation and having an amazing season so far. Had 18 points, 9 assists, 4 steals, 6 of 11 shooting. Missed all 4 of his 3-pointers, but made 6 of his 7 free throws. Definitely some very helpful, useful production. He was plus 21 in the minutes that he played. Did we talk about Bam? No, Bam had 17 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, 5 of 9 shooting, and he made 7 of his 8 free throws. If he's shooting free throws that well, that's going to boost his value. If he's shooting in the 80% range consistently, that means all of a sudden he's not only a punt free throw percentage guy, he's one of the best players in fantasy, period, because now he's helping you in your free throw percentage as well. He's probably not going to help you with your three-pointers at any point, but it's hard to ask him to do much more than he already does. I'm excited to have him in my Dynasty League. Somebody I want to out as a potential pickup in a deeper format for you is Precious Achiuwa. And I probably butchered his last name. But Precious played almost 20 minutes, made 5 of his 7 shots. And in a deeper format, I'd consider picking him up right now. I think he's eventually going to beat out Meyer Leonard for the minutes that Meyer Leonard is getting. And I think he's going to be a better player. He's so far showed me a whole lot of potential. I like the minutes that I've seen him play so far. And I like the production he's put up in the minutes that he's gotten. So as you can see here, made 5 of his 7 shots. Had 11 points. He was plus 4, so he was helping while he was out there. Somebody else that had a pretty impressive game was Avery Bradley. Picked him up in my 16-team league. He had 12 points. I believe that's 4 assists and 2 steals. Avery Bradley was one of those guys who was a really good fantasy player in the past, but I believe he went to Detroit and was also with the Clippers. He's been on a few different teams and was just very injured and just not a great fantasy contributor at that point. But I think at this point, with Jimmy Butler potentially injured on the teams where I have Jimmy Butler, and one of those was my 16-team league, I thought if Jimmy Butler's not going to be missing some time, Avery Bradley may be able to produce for me, and he may be worthy of me picking up for that reason. James Wiseman continues to impress, and I continue to regret not picking him up on more of my teams. Like, it'll probably be one of my biggest regrets not telling you more often to pick him up. Oversight by me. I'm not perfect, and I'm sorry. I should have done better. But look at that. 18 points, 3 blocks, 3 of his 4 three-pointers, made 5 of his 11 shots, 5 of his 6 free throws. And man, the guy is going to get minutes, and he's going to produce. Whatever report I read that Steve Kerr said that we're going to bring him along slowly ended up being a lie. That report scared me away. I shouldn't have listened. I shouldn't have listened, and I should have gone for him more than I did. And if you managed to pick him up, comment below and let me know that I'm a sucker and that I'm not as good at this as you are. Andrew Wiggins, see, we discussed him before. He had 12 points, but man, just awful production. Was minus 19 in his minutes played. Eric Pascal, awful production as well. I told you guys before, he's pretty much only a scorer, and he hasn't been doing that well. He was minus 23. Kelly Oubre, we discussed him. He was minus 15. Steph Curry was minus 24. And just Steph Curry has been struggling tremendously ever since Klay Thompson's been injured. I missed 8 of his 10 three-pointers, made only 6 of his 17 shots, and it's just looking rough for him out there. I don't know if we're going to see the Steph Curry, the MVP Steph Curry, that we're used to. I think people are expecting to see that. I didn't draft him a whole lot because I was worried we wouldn't be seeing that if Klay Thompson is injured, and so far that's been the case. Who else can we discuss? Let's discuss the Bucks, where Chris Middleton continues to have an amazing season. He was plus 21, had 31 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, made 6 of his 8 three-pointers, made all of his free throws, and made 10 of his 15 shots. What an amazing stat line. He's one of the top fantasy contributors right now. I just traded Kawhi Leonard for him in one of my leagues. It was a bigger package than that, but still ended up being a very favorable trade, in my opinion. Giannis Antetokounmpo, very rough game from him from the field, as well as from the free throw line. Missed 8 of his 15 shots, which is why he's a punt free throw guy. Also got you no steals and blocks. And a game like this shows why he shouldn't have been the number one fantasy basketball player that you drafted. He's just hurt you in a lot of areas, and you have to build very specifically around his newfound free throw weakness, because he used to be better than this in the past, but it seems the better he gets, the worse he gets at those free throws. Brook Lopez, we've discussed. Dante DiVincenzo, he only got 20 minutes, but he's just so useful in the minutes he does get. Had 13 points, 2 steals, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. He also had 3 of his 5 three-pointers, made 5 of his 8 shots, so he just helped in so many different categories. Very useful production. Jrue Holiday has been having a decent season so far for the Milwaukee Bucks. The 6 assists I like to see. The 6 of 9 shooting is nice. Bobby Portis got some minutes as well. He was plus 20, had 10 points, 12 rebounds, and he's somebody else who may be worthy of consideration if you're in a deeper format, especially if he's going to be getting 25 minutes. It looks like he's beating Brook Lopez out for minutes, so keep an eye out on that. DJ Wilson, Pat Connaughton was plus 27. DJ Wilson was plus 12. I don't see either one getting enough minutes to really be worth it. DJ Augustine had 13 points and was plus 10. And DJ Augustine's definitely somebody you would want to target in a very deep format if you're in need of a point guard. Joe Harris had 9 points and had 2 three-pointers, but definitely a boring stat line. Hoping to see some better stat lines than that for my guy Joe Harris, because I've sang his praises a whole lot and I want to see more from him. Kevin Durant still looking like Kevin Durant. 29 points plus 31. You can see the production there. Just looks like the Kevin Durant of old. DeAndre Jordan, low end center. The 2 blocks is nice to see, but he's only getting about 20 minutes a game. Wouldn't want him unless I need a desperation big and he fell to me very late in the draft, or in a league where I just desperately need a big and rebounding. Spencer Dinwiddie, we've discussed. Kyrie Irving, we discussed him in the context of Spencer Dinwiddie, but Kyrie Irving had 37 points, was plus 31, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 13 of his 21 shots, 7 of his 10 three-pointers, made 4 of his 4 free throws, and Kyrie Irving is just looking absolutely amazing. This Brooklyn Nets team is looking absolutely amazing, and I'm very excited to see how well they do and if they're able to take it all and if they're able to stay healthy. I'm hoping that they are. Jared Allen got 22 minutes almost in this one, had 11 rebounds, 9 points. He was plus 18. Nice to see him get more minutes than DeAndre Jordan, and he's somebody that I identified as a sleeper, and he's actually on the cover of my sleeper video. You can get him after pick 100, and he's probably helping your team right now because of it. Caris LeVert had 10 points, but was not, and 7 turnovers. 7 turnovers is incredibly hurtful. Definitely don't want to see 7 turnovers in a very rough game from him there. Was anyone else worthy of the discussion? No, not really. On to the Boston Celtics. Jason Tatum, one of the storylines is that he's not drawing any free throws, so that's something to keep an eye on for sure. He probably needs to draw some more free throws so he could get that scoring average up to justify where he was being picked. The field goal was pretty low, and there's still going to be some growing pains. He's still a young guy. There's jokes that he's only 19. He was minus 21. Tristan Thompson, we've discussed. Daniel Theis, we've discussed. Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is somebody who I may have been a little difficult on because he seems to be having a great season so far. I actually ended up trading in a league that I auto-drafted and I needed depth. Somebody offered me Jaylen Brown and Miles Turner for Devin Booker. And I ended up accepting that trade just because I almost wanted to quit the league. But I just figured I need the depth and I like Miles Turner. But Jaylen Brown so far has been amazing. And if he continues playing like this, I don't think I'll regret that trade whatsoever. So that says a lot about how good he's been playing. Marcus Smart made only 4 of his 12 shots, and that's what Marcus Smart does. But the 6 assists, 2 steals, and the block is what you get Marcus Smart for. On to the Mavericks taking on the Los Angeles Lakers. We had Luka Doncic. I know you want to know about him. He was minus 14, had 27 points, 7 assists. The block was nice, 3 turnovers. The free throw, 7 of 8. Definitely like to see that. And really nice field goal percentage, all things considered. Really nice stat line from him. Normally, we don't see a whole lot of steals and blocks, so anytime you could get some of that, along with some good percentages from him, you like to see that. What can I say? Josh Richardson was minus 10, but had 17 points. He had 2 steals, had hit all of his free throws, had 2 three-pointers, and shot 50% from the field. And for a guy who was available pretty late in drafts, I think so far he's playing up to where you drafted him and bringing you some value. And I still think he can do better. Tim Hardaway Jr. missed the majority of his shots. Not a steals and blocks guy. When he's not hitting shots, he can hurt your team a lot. But hold on still. He can has an opportunity to be a scorer on this team because of the injury to Kristaps Porzingis. And they just don't have that much offensive talent, if we're going to be completely honest. Trey Burke had 17 points, and he's probably available in a lot of your leagues. So Trey Burke may be somebody to consider if you're in a really deep league where you're in need of a point guard. From LeBron, we got a typical LeBron game. He had 22 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists. He was plus 16. Anthony Davis had 28 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. Made 3 three-pointers. LeBron made 3 three-pointers. They were both plus 16. Just an incredibly deadly duel. Marc Gasol had 19 minutes, had 2 points, 9 rebounds is nice, but that's about all you can expect from him these days. Just a very, not a safe fantasy option unless you're in a deep format. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, the 2 blocks and the steal is nice, along with the 8 points. He was plus 14. Also got you 2 three-pointers. Something definitely noteworthy. Dennis Schroeder had 18 points, 6 assists, made 7 of his 11 shots, and he continues to have a very strong season for the Lakers. Kyle Kuzma had 13 points, 6 rebounds, made 3 three-pointers, and he continues to have a pretty decent season as well. Probably wouldn't consider him outside, maybe in a 12-team league. I think that's too shallow, but in a 14-team league, that's where I'd start considering Kyle Kuzma. Montrezl Harrell, though, somebody who I drafted in a couple of auctions for about $5 when I was running low on cash and I was able to grab him. So happy that I was able to do that because he continues to have some monstrous production. He had 22 points. He was plus 15. Anybody else noteworthy here? Alex Caruso may be in a very deep format, but all right, and the last game we're going to discuss is the Clippers and the Denver Nuggets to see what we can identify. Kawhi Leonard had a good game, but took an elbow to the face, which required stitches. He was plus 13, had 21 points, 4 steals, 2 three-pointers. Typical Kawhi Leonard production. Hopefully he's able to come back quickly and he doesn't have to miss any time at all from the unfortunate face injury he took from a vicious elbow from his teammate Serge Ibaka. Speaking of Serge Ibaka, he had 15 points, had a block, not a whole lot of rebounds, but made both of his three-pointers, 6 of his 9 shots. Very useful production for a big man that you were able to grab pretty late in most of your drafts. Paul George continues to have a very strong season, and I picked him up a lot around the 15-16 range. 23 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, a steal. Made 5 of his 9 three-pointers, 8 of his 14 shots. Playoff P showing everyone how wrong they are, and he wants to shed the Pandemic P label that he was unceremoniously branded with after a rough bubble performance. Patrick Beverley, I've heard some questions about him. He had 9 points, 2 steals, 2 three-pointers, and that sort of production is useful and helpful, so maybe somebody you do want to consider. For the Denver Nuggets, we had a much more down-to-earth performance from Michael Porter Jr. He had 10 points, 2 assists, 2 steals, made only 4 of his 9 shots, hit 2 three-pointers, and he was minus 14. Paul Millsap only had 8 points, and just a low-end pickup this point of his career. Nikola Jokic, an amazing performance by him with 24 points. 5 turnovers is a lot, but he had 10 assists, 9 rebounds, 9 of his 11 free throws, hit a 3-pointer, 4, he made 7 of his 13 shots. No blocks in this one, and like I told you before, just shot blocking is not something you draft him expecting, besides on the occasion. On occasion, you will get some. Gary Harris, I dropped him, like I told you before, moving on from him, based on production like this one. Jamal Murray had 37 minutes, had 23 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, made 4 of his 11 three-pointers and 9 of his 20 shots, and I think he's going to continue to have a very nice season for you. Will Barton had 15 points in this one, had a steal, played 28 minutes, didn't help your field goal percentage, and also hurt your free throw percentage. So if you pick him up, just realize that there are some flaws to him as a fantasy player, but on the nights he's good, he can be really good. Monte Morris, after not doing much the last game, this game did a whole lot better, had 13 points, played 30 minutes in this one, and in a much deeper format, he may be worthy of picking up, and this is how he's going to produce when he's getting minutes. The fact that he got 30 minutes says a lot, but with this team being so deep, it's also not strange if the next game he gets only like 10 minutes and does absolutely nothing. Who else can we discuss on this team? No one that really stands out. So that covers most of the games. We did the waiver wire trends. And maybe we could just show one team. Maybe we could show one team. All right. So here's one of my squads. Just Luka Doncic definitely helping me. Bam helping me. Maxi Kleber, like I told you guys, holding on to him. Just check out the Brock Lesnar Hoops League. We're going to go through a real up 8-1 in this one. Made a couple of trade offers. Most of them were denied. Maybe I'm asking for too much. But start my active players. I was able to get Malik Beasley, like I told you, number one on the waiver wire, because I picked 16 from this league right here. It's my $100 buy-in league. And since I had the number one waiver, I was able to drop Kevin Nunn and pick up Malik Beasley. And I was also able to pick up Avery Bradley. I dropped CeeDee Osman and picked up Avery Bradley since I have my boy Jimmy Butler dealing with that ankle injury. It looks like one of the beneficiaries of Jimmy Butler missing potentially some time with this ankle injury is Avery Bradley. So he serves as a handcuff, which makes it a little easier for me to deal with the uncertainty surrounding Jimmy Butler. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. And let's see some of the performances for yesterday, and then we're gonna cut this video. Dante, as I said, just really helping me. Somebody I spoke of very highly during the preseason. Hopefully he's on your team because he's definitely helping mine. Paul George picked him at 15. Another player that I'm very excited to have on my team and is producing some really great numbers. 23, 5, and 9 with 5 three-pointers, 57% shooting. That's some amazing production. For a guy you can grab at 15, like I did, or you could have, probably not anymore. Brooke Lopez, still some low-end production. Want to see more blocks and slightly more scoring from him, but still helping out my team. You can see I have Maxi Kleber here as well. Nerlens Noel, somebody else who started off not too hot, but I'm still holding on to and trusting and believing in. And down there, you can see Avery Bradley's production. He wasn't on my team yet, but it's showing him there. All right, guys, I hope that was helpful. I hope that was useful. If you have not yet, please go ahead and subscribe below. You can subscribe below or click where it says subscribe, Barack Lesnar Hoops. Please like this video. Thumbs up. Turn that thumb blue for the Facebook. No, sorry, not Facebook. For the YouTube algorithm, which is a different algorithm that I also want to grow. But if you are on Facebook, definitely check Barack Lesnar Fantasy Basketball. And if you search Fantasy Basketball, it's actually one of the top groups popping up now because the community is growing so quickly with people just like you answering great questions and also asking some great questions, giving some of the best fantasy basketball advice on Facebook right now and possibly the internet. If you're not part of Barack Lesnar Fantasy Basketball on Facebook and you are on Facebook, even if you're not on Facebook, you definitely want to check that out. Thank you again for all the support. Until next time, this is Barack Lesnar of Barack Lesnar Hoops. Take care. Hey y'all, it's Barack Lesnar of Barack Lesnar Hoops. There's a lot of games to cover that happened yesterday. And a lot of fantasy implications, a lot of guys probably on your waiver wire right now that you may want to pay some attention to. So we're going to go immediately to Yahoo's transaction trends and we're going to get started. I hope you're enjoying the content. I hope it's helping you. I hope you're having a successful fantasy basketball season so far. Let me know below. If you haven't yet, please like, share this video. And please subscribe to the channel. Trying to grow this community. We're on our way. We met our goal to 1,400 subscribers by the start of the season. Now we're looking forward to 2,000 subscribers. I'm going to continue bringing you quality content. And all I ask in return is your support. Thank you so much. Cue that intro.
Hello there, Joel, aka Barack Lesnar. This video is to show my appreciation to the things you do. I call you master because for me you are master of the fantasy, NBA fantasy. You showed me a lot of tips, a lot of strategies, your sleepers, and you teach me how to beat my friends in all the leagues which I play. Thanks a lot, brother. Keeping up the good work. See you around.
All right, so like I told you guys, transaction trends is probably the best place to start doing your research. Research is one of the keys for you to have a strong team. Simple as that. If you're not doing your research, you don't know who's hot. You don't know who's going off of the waiver wire, who's going into the waiver wire. And without that information, you can't make informed decisions, and you want to make informed decisions as often as possible. It's about making as many good decisions versus bad decisions. They are going to be bad decisions. It's just a matter of fact, but it's trying to minimize those bad decisions. Now that we've done the drafting, now that your team is built, it's about finding the right pieces to build around your players. And my specific strategy is I try to find talent that I can bring on and then package in trades. Hopefully three players maybe for two or two players for one, which then allows me another streamer spot to continue trying to replicate that and pushing the talent upward by loading up on really high level players. That's the goal. That's the dream. That's the objective. And that's how you build a very strong team by the end of the season that's hard to beat. And again, one of the keys is this waiver wire. So we see Alec Burks is jumping off the waiver wire. Look at all those ads. Why? He had 22 points, back-to-back games, had over 31 minutes, back-to-back games, and there you see why. He's not going to help your field goal percentage, but as you can see there, he's a guy that's going to score. He's actually been getting you some steals. He's pretty turnover prone, and he is injury prone, but if you're in need of scoring or a low-end point guard, actually, he's not a point guard this year. They've had him as a point guard in the past. But if you need a shooting guard, small forward eligible player that's going to get some scoring for you, a Dylan Brooks type of player, then I would go ahead and grab him. 12-team leagues for sure. He's likely to be on your waiver wire at least in half of them. Nicholas Batum, we've discussed him before. But again, another good option for you, especially being a small forward, power forward guy that can get you some out of position assist. That's really valuable, especially if you have someone like Nikola Jokic in that you're trying to build off of those assists. He's somebody on the waiver wire who's probably available to you. Kyle Anderson, somebody that I've hyped up a lot since preseason. In the past, he's been a very good fantasy basketball player, and he's showing it again. He got 36 minutes this last game, had 20 points, 14 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 three-pointers made. Love that production. Very useful production. According to Yahoo, it says he's ranked at 46 right now. The free throw percentage and not a whole lot of three-pointers made. Otherwise, though, he's going to help you across the board, and I'm very excited to have him on my team, and I have him in a few deep teams, and I hope you did too. Chris Boucher had an amazing game, had 7 blocks, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 3 three-pointers, shot almost 70%, and that's the sort of performance that's going to guarantee him minutes. If he's on your waiver wire, you definitely want to go and you want to pick him up right now. I was able to grab him in one of my teams off the waiver wire. Somebody had just dropped him based on, I guess, his first performance being kind of boring, but that second performance, just awesome performance. And he's going to be owned in a lot of Yahoo leagues. He's probably going to get consistent minutes above 25 minutes per game. And as you can see here, a guy that can get you 3 three-pointers, get you that many blocks, scored, get rebounds. He's going to have a lot of opportunity to prove himself on that team and be their center of the future. Aaron Baines is more of a backup type anyways, so I would not be surprised to see Chris Boucher very soon being the starting center and getting a lot of usage. And you can see here his ceiling with a performance like this. If he's on your waiver wire, go pick him up right now. Darius Garland continues to amaze at 21 points, 12 assists, 2 steals and a block. If he somehow happens to be on your waiver wire, he definitely should not be. He's one of the top performers right now, and there's no reason why he can't continue to be a high-level performer for you all season long. Definitely pick him up. I picked up Colin Sexton a lot, but I slept on Darius Garland more, and I wish I would have paid more attention to Darius Garland. I knew he was doing really well in preseason. I still had concerns, though. But again, in that barren wasteland of a team, it should have been more obvious to me that he would have a bigger role, and he was an extreme sleeper. He was named as a sleeper in my video, but I should have focused on him more personally and maybe emphasized him more to you. So, you know, L on me for that. We're going to give me an L for that. Dort. Lugens Dort had a pretty good game. He had 15 points, had a steal and a block. I've seen him on a lot of waiver wires, and he's going to have the opportunity to play a lot of minutes. And as you can see here, he can get you steals, blocks, and some three-pointers and got you some scoring. The opportunities are going to be there for him. So if he was dropped after the game was postponed on the 23rd, then he's somebody you want to pick up, maybe even in the 12-team league. I would probably hold off if you're shallower than 14 leagues, but at 14 leagues or more, I think he's on the radar and you should pick him up. Brandon Clark is being dropped a whole lot, and I found myself considering dropping him as well. I dropped Darius Bazley the other day instead of him, and that's looking like it may be a regrettable decision based on the performance by Darius Bazley. I'm holding on just maybe another game or two. It's still very early on in the season, and he has proven in the past to be a very valuable contributor. But it is a little concerning that despite Jaren Jackson Jr. being injured, Brandon Clark is not getting a bigger role. A lot of it does have to do with Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson's getting a lot of those minutes and touches. Someone else who is not on enough of my teams is Terrence Ross, who is having a great start to his season as well. Had 25 points, 2 steals, 3 three-pointers, shot a very good percentage. He's going to be a streaky scorer, that's for sure. But it looks like he has a large role on that Orlando Magic team. And if he's on your waiver wire, you definitely want to pick him up. And he may be available in some because I slept on him a lot. And definitely other people are too. So go ahead and see if he's on your waiver wire. If you need threes and you're willing to stomach some bad shooting nights, somebody to heavily consider. I don't have Norman Powell on any of my teams. He's being dropped. He only had 18 minutes in this last game. First game, he had 23 minutes. Missed most of his shots. Just, he's not a player I've ever been a huge fan of. He tends to have streaks where he's a really good fantasy player, but he never seems to secure a role where he's getting more than like 22, 23 minutes per game. So I didn't draft him a lot. I didn't recommend you to draft him. And at some point, he may be better. But right now, I wouldn't add him to any of my teams unless it were a very deep league, just because he does have upside. That can't be denied. But in the 12-team league, I just think there's better options for me, personally speaking. Somebody you may want to go and run and grab right now if you're in need of a point guard is George Hill. He got 24 minutes in this last game. He's a guy he's gonna help your percentages for the most part. He can score efficiently, and he's going to get you assists from time to time. He's not going to get you a whole lot of steals and blocks, but he can get you some on occasion. And he's going to keep his turnovers relatively low. If you're in a really deep format, I have my eye on him in a couple of deeper formats where I'm capped out and I've used all my picks for the week. But if he's still there tomorrow morning, I definitely will be picking him up. A big man you want to target who could also be on your waiver wire right now is Mason Plumlee. He got 33 minutes, over 32 minutes, two games in a row. Playing time is there for him. And when he's getting playing time, he can put up some nice numbers, especially as far as assists. He had 5 assists this last game, and this is for a guy who's available on your waiver wire. And on occasion, he can get you blocks as well, even though he hasn't gotten you any so far. I am excited for you. If you're able to grab him off the waiver wire and you were in need of a big man, now's your chance to get one who has some upside and may be able to help you. DeAndre Hunter had a double-double, played 35 minutes, had 2 blocks. And if he's on your waiver wire for whatever reason, go ahead and pick him up. Right now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, right now. Right now is the time to pick him up if he's available, and that is including in 12-team leagues. If you have somebody you've been waiting to drop, I'd even consider dropping someone like Maxi Kleber, who I've drafted and valued, but his start is slower than I've wanted, and I think I would take a flyer on DeAndre Hunter, just having a more secure long-term role. I still believe in Maxi Kleber, but if it comes down to him or DeAndre Hunter, I'm probably going to end up making that move. Harrison Barnes had 34 minutes, 11 points, 11 rebounds. Not a great stat line. He's not getting you 3-pointers. Still not the biggest fan of his, but he has had a decent fantasy basketball season. And his team is winning, so he's probably going to continue getting minutes. So if he's on your waiver wire, he's probably somebody else you may want to consider. Just keep in mind what he doesn't help you in, because he probably won't help you there over the average. And Killian Hayes continues to have a rough start. I think at some point he's going to do better. The minutes are pretty low right now. I think as he gets used to the NBA game, which could be in a month or two, we'll see him having much better lines. But for right now, it's hard to justify this production, especially if you burned one of your top 100 picks to grab him. I have him on some teams where I grab them pretty late, so I'm not overly concerned, and I tend to be deep enough that I can hang on a little longer just to see if he can figure out the game, because that Detroit team does have incentive to play him minutes. So if he's getting minutes and usage, he could put up some nice stat lines later on in the year, and if you drop him now, you may not get him back. Somebody may be patient enough to hold them. So I'm not telling you to drop him, but if there's absolutely a free agent that you think can help your team win right now and you just do not have the patience to wait maybe a month or two to see if he does better, in that situation, I would move on. But if you can stomach just the rookie learning curve and you believe he can be better and that he will do better, then you hold on to him. Lonnie Walker played 25 minutes in this game, had two 3-pointers, 14 points, no steals or blocks. But as long as Derek White is out, it looks like he's getting minutes. And when he's getting minutes, he can put up some nice numbers for you. So if he's on your waiver wire, he's somebody else I would consider if you've been looking for somebody to drop and think that Lonnie Walker would be a good fit with what your team needs. Larry Nance Jr. had a forgettable game after his very hot start. And despite not scoring anything for you, the 7 rebounds, the 2 assists, and the 2 steals, and only 1 turnover, that's actually pretty usable. So if somebody drops him because they saw that 0 point performance, I would definitely pick him up. I'm still holding on to Larry Nance Jr., though his minutes were lower because Kevin Love did return and play about 38 minutes, I believe it was. So if Kevin Love is injured, I mean healthy, he's not going to have as much opportunity, but I still think they're going to find time to play him because he's a pretty good player. He's a young player. He fits in nicely with their young players. Kevin Love is not really going to be a piece of their future. So at best, I'm assuming they're trying to get rid of him in a trade. So we might see a lot of Kevin Love for a few weeks, and they're probably going to go ahead and try to trade him to a team maybe like the Boston Celtics. Elfrid Payton, a player that I've just not been high on at all, had 18 minutes in this game. I told you there's a lot of competition for that point guard rotation, and he's just barely above average at this point. He's a player I've rooted for in the past, and in the past he has put up some triple doubles. Just not seeing the opportunity for him, and I think he's going to lose out that competition for the point guard minutes, and there's going to be better options than him. So not excited for what the future holds for him on that New York Knicks team as far as being the starter. So unless you're in a really deep format, I would not be depending on him as a reliable option for your point guard rotation. Rookie wear and tear begins. Obi Toppin, straight right calf, will miss at least another 6 games, according to Ian Bagley. So, definitely move on. And I don't even think he's worthy of an IR spot on your team. So, unless you're in a really deep format, it's time to move on. Keldon Johnson is somebody else that's been flying off of the waiver wire because he's getting minutes on that San Antonio Spurs team. Derek White coming back into the equation at some point will kind of throw things into flux. But right now, Keldon Johnson is worthy of a pickup as a flyer. 12 points, 9 rebounds, he got 28 minutes. He may continue to get minutes for the entire season. So now is the time, if you believe that he can continue to produce the way that he has been, to pick him up and see if he can continue to perform in this role. And if his minutes remain consistent, he could be somebody that pays off for you all season long. But I wouldn't drop somebody that you really value to grab him. I still think he's somebody you grab at one of your streamer spots and play it out. Darius Bazley is another guy that I didn't hype up as much as other people have, and maybe I was wrong because he had a really strong game to start the season. Their first game was postponed, but this game he had 15 points, 10 rebounds, a steal, 2 blocks, only 1 turnover, shot 58%. And man, that is a very nice stat line right there from him. If he can continue to have stat lines like that, I'll definitely regret not having him on more of my teams, most definitely. I still made sure I included him as a sleeper, and I did hype him up for you, though I personally did not grab him as much as perhaps I should have. And I did have him in one of the teams, but when that game got postponed, I ended up dropping him for somebody else. And now I kind of regret that. Wish I would have kept him, but that's how things go. You end up making panic moves, and I'm susceptible to it as well. I'm not perfect. And any advice that I give, these are my opinions. I'm not a psychic. I don't pretend to be a psychic. Just these are my intuitions and the things that I would do for myself. The logic and reasoning I do for myself, for my moves, and hopefully they can help you. Bismack Biyombo, somebody I did tell you about and told you if he's getting minutes, he could produce some nice rebounding numbers for you. And you can see that here. He got 30 minutes and 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, and the 4 assists from Bismack Biyombo. That's pretty nice as well. Not a guy I'm ever going to grab expecting him to help me with my scoring. He normally is going to have a pretty high field goal percentage, free throw percentage. He's going to hurt you there. But lots of opportunity for him over the next few weeks now that Cody Zeller has that fractured hand. And when they need some size, he's going to be helpful. I picked him up in the league where rebounding is worth 2 different categories. And I picked him up. And double doubles are a category as well. And I picked him up because he'll help me as a low-end pickup to get some double-doubles. So with those special rebounding formats, you definitely want to consider him there as well. People seem to be moving on from Patrick Williams. You can see here a good amount of drops, but it may be your time to pick him up if you're seeing him being dropped in your league specifically. I still think he has a lot of upside. I still think he's going to end the season as a starter, and he's going to help you in many categories. He's incredibly NBA ready, and I'm excited for his future. So definitely pick him up if you see him on the waiver wire, even though he did not have an amazing game. The 1 3-pointer in the block definitely stands out to me. The 4 turnovers, that's going to happen to a rookie as he figures the game out. Things are going to, I think, outdo Malik Beasley, who I told you guys I was able to pick up. 18 points, 6 rebounds. Not going to help your field goal percentage for the most part, but the 39 minutes is nice. And we don't know if he's going to be suspended by the NBA. I think we know he is going to. We don't know when the suspension is going to occur. It has not happened yet. I guess as far as we know, it could happen at any moment. So there is some risk. But I picked him up in a very deep 16-team league where he's so much better than my other options. I think I dropped Chris Nunn for him, who wasn't going to help me, and Malik Beasley. I can stomach him being away for a few weeks, hopefully not more than that, because he can still help me at the end of the day, and I think he's going to have a large role. He's getting a ton of minutes, and that bodes really well for his ability to help your team. Joe Ingles is being dropped, and you can see here I had concerns about his fit with Mike Conley. 2 3-pointers, 10 points, 2 rebounds, not much else. If you're in a 12-team league and you need and you don't have a better drop, then Joe Ingles may be that drop for you. I don't have him on any of my teams. I think it would require Mike Conley to be injured, or just they don't seem to go well together. They seem to, one does better when the other's not playing. So just an observation I've made. He could at whatever moment suddenly start getting you 5-6 assists and still has the potential to get you 1 to 2 steals. Every other game. Will he do that though? Will he have the opportunity to? That I don't know. Somebody that's back on my fantasy radar is Tomas Satoransky. I picked him up in a league where I needed a point guard, and 9 assists, 2 steals, a block. That's what I love to see. This Bulls team is struggling, has lost 2 games in a row. The defense is not there for them. So we may see a lineup change where Tomas Satoransky is getting more minutes and getting more playing time because he's a better defender than Kobe White is, and he's a better defender than Zach LaVine. I don't see Zach LaVine going to the bench, so my guess would be Kobe White is at risk of going to the bench. That would be my prediction. If this team doesn't get it together, there's just, I know they're a young team, but there's also a lot of expectations. I've heard from some people that know the game, I had them tell me that they're a playoff team, that they're a playoff team. I haven't seen that yet. And with the lineup they're putting out there, just they're putting up over 100, but they've allowed 124 points, 125 points. The defense is not there. And if Tomas Satoransky is going to bring some defense, we may see him come into that starting lineup. So now may be the time for you to pick him up. I would even consider him in a 12-team league where you're desperate for a point guard. And just to, at some point, if this Bulls team again doesn't start winning, that ups Tomas Satoransky's chances of getting some playing time. That's just my opinion. And my boy Daniel House Jr. still has not had a wow performance after getting himself in some trouble in the bubble. Definitely the most trouble in the bubble. He has not had the start to the NBA season I was hoping he would have. Still, though, the 38 minutes is really nice, and I know those performances are going to come, especially if he continues to get the minutes and continues to have a role. Josh Jackson played 19 minutes in this game, only had 6 points. The steal and the block is nice, the 3 turnovers, not so much. And it does look like his minutes, he's in a minutes battle with Dellen Wright. It seems like they're trading off with minutes, and the guy getting the minutes ends up being the more usable that night. If I had to choose between both, I'd rather have Dellen Wright. I have not moved on from Dellen Wright in any of the leagues in which I have him.
And I think I actually may have picked him up in a league or two. Ah, Nerlens Noel. It is with a heavy heart I have to say that it may be time. I know it's only been two games, but it is concerning that he only got 9 minutes and then 16 minutes. My hype for Nerlens Noel was based on the idea that he would get some minutes for Tom Thibodeau. So far, the minutes have not come. They have lost both games, so there may be the opportunity for him to get minutes. But it's hard for me to tell you to hold on to him when the minute allotment is not there. I will tell you, it's probably smart to give it at least 5 games before we drop Nerlens Noel. That's probably the smart thing to do, because maybe they're still easing his knee in, and the next game he gets 30 minutes, then has a 3 steal, 3 block, 70% field goal performance, and then we're regretting the fact that we dropped him and didn't wait to see if that's what was happening. Now, if we get 5 games in a row and he's just still getting 10 to 15 minutes and not really producing in that time, then it's probably smarter to drop then. But if you feel that you don't have a better drop and there's a guy that you really believe in right now, it's hard for me to tell you not to drop Nerlens Noel for that player. That's just as best as I can put it. I still think if he's getting minutes, he produces. But if he's not going to get the minutes, then I don't like him nearly as much. Jeremy Grant got 43 minutes and had an amazing performance at 4 3-pointers, 28 points, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks. And that is what a Jeremy Grant highlight performance looks like, and why I heavily recommended him. And in the leagues in which I had him, it was hard for me to tell you to move on from him, because when he's good, he is freaking good. And hopefully this is start of a long, prosperous streak for him. And if you have him on your team, hold on tight. Do not move on while he's having performances like this. You must have better drops. I would not drop him unless there was a really, really good player available, like really good. If not, then hold on to Jeremy Grant for sure. Ricky Rubio got 27 minutes, got 6 assists, got a steal. And that's about what you can expect from him. If you need a low-end point guard who can get you some steals and some assists, he's not going to help you much with your scoring, and he's going to hurt your field goal percentage for the most part. He has the ability to help you there. He's probably a better target in 14-team leagues or deeper, but if you really are in need of a desperation point guard, I think I would prefer him over Tomas Satoransky, for example. But I wouldn't rank them too differently, to be completely honest with you. Though Ricky Rubio in the past has shown to have slow starts and then end up being a very helpful contributor down the road. So if there's a Malik Beasley suspension and suddenly he's getting minutes, he could be useful. So keep that in mind. If you're a Malik Beasley owner and Ricky Rubio's available, you may want to consider picking him up. And when Malik Beasley gets suspended, you may drop Beasley. And then Ricky Rubio's production is probably going to spike up. Just something to keep in mind. Another player on that Wolves team you may want to consider is Jared Culver. He got 20 minutes, so the minutes aren't a whole lot. But in a deeper format, he could be available. And those minutes could increase again with Malik Beasley possibly being suspended at some point. He had a pretty good preseason, and he continues to have a pretty decent season given the limited minutes he's been getting. So if you need a low-end point guard, probably not targeting him in a 12-team league. 14-team league, possibly. 16-team league and deeper is probably more ideal, in my opinion. We're seeing Tyrese Haliburton drop. Not a whole lot, but there are some drops. Still, 5 assists and a block, and this is only his second NBA game. I'm holding on to him, and I wish I had him. In any team where I have Killian Hayes, I wish I had Tyrese Haliburton instead. That's just a fact. So this may be a good buy-low opportunity for Tyrese Haliburton, in my opinion. And if he gets dropped to your waiver wire, pick him up. Do not allow him to stay there. I think we're going to see more performances like his first performances already. Back-to-back games where he's gotten you a block. And I love blocks and steals. And to get them from my point guard, love it as well. So Tyrese Haliburton, somebody you definitely want to hold on to. Patty Mills played 30 minutes, had 5 3-pointers, had 21 points. And when Patty's getting minutes, he can get cooking. And he got cooking. So if you're in a deep format where you're in need of a point guard, Patty Mills is definitely worthy of consideration. Now, keep in mind, the next game, he may have 18 minutes and hit 2 3-pointers-pointers or nothing else. That is not rare. So keep that in mind. He does have these performances where you go and pick him up, and then the next time he lets you down. So you don't pick him up expecting this all season long. But right now, he could be on a hot streak. Pick him up. He's worthy of a flyer. Probably 14 teams or deeper. You could probably do better on the waiver wire in a 12-team format or shallower. A lot of people moving on from Isaac Okoro, but keep in mind, he still had 42 minutes. So the minutes are there. So keep that in mind. If you're going to drop him, the minutes are there. I worry about a player when the minutes are not there. He played 42 minutes. So they believe in him. They won that game, and they won with him playing 42 minutes. So even though the performance is a hard performance to stomach, if you have him on your team, I would not move on just yet, because he's going to have strong performances when he's getting this many minutes. It's just bound to happen. You may be tempted to move on from him and grab CeeDee Osmond, and then the next game he has an amazing performance and you've moved on. Don't be that person. The minutes are there. He's young. He's figuring the game out. The upside is what you're banking on. And it's hard to find this level of upside on your waiver wire. So unless you're desperate for somebody to drop because you just love somebody on the waiver wire, try to hold on tight. Dellen Wright is somebody we discussed, and he had a strong game. Got 42 minutes, 19.6 rebounds, 4 assists, and a block after only getting 19 minutes his first game. I did not move on from him after that 19-minute performance the first game, and thankfully I did not, because this second performance is just one of those that validates why you gave him a chance in the first place. So I'm going to allow him a longer rope, you know, to perform before I consider moving on from him. I think he's going to be a pretty dynamic player. I think he's going to continue getting minutes, and he's going to be one of those guys that can just help you in multiple categories and was available really late. So very excited to have him on a few of my teams, and I think he's going to help me win some fantasy basketball game. We discussed this guy on Christmas, but if he's getting 27 or more minutes per game, I really like Josh Hart's ability to help you. He can contribute in multiple categories, including getting you steals, getting you good rebounding, hitting three-pointers. If he's available, I would consider him with my last spot, even in a 12-team league. I think he can perform to that level. He's probably more ideal right now for a 14-team league, but if your waiver wire is bare, he's somebody you definitely want to consider having on your team. LaMelo Ball had a really strong performance in limited minutes, but the minutes were still limited. He had 15 minutes in this game, and the opposite of Isaac Okoro, the performance is there, but the minutes are not. I'd want to see more minutes, because it's harder to perform in limited minutes than it is to perform with minutes. One of the most important things in fantasy basketball is minutes. You want guys that are getting significant minutes, period. Always bank on minutes. That's one of the safest options, is to bank on minutes. Jordan Clarkson's a guy that normally gets 20, 25 minutes, but he can score a whole lot in those limited minutes. I told you guys to draft him if you needed a third or fourth point guard for his ability to score, and he's available late in a lot of drafts. And for a guy who's scoring 23 points, 2 3-pointers-pointers, really good percentages, 0 turnovers, he's better when you're punting assists. And since I tend to punt assists, Jordan Clarkson usually ends up being a pretty good target for me. If you're grabbing him hoping he can help you in assists, that's not something he's going to help you with. He's a guy who's going to go out there, score, get the ball, score efficiently, and not going to pass it a whole lot. So don't expect him to ever do that. PJ Washington, somebody I was recommending that you guys draft, and I'm happy that I was telling you this. See, I get some right, I get some wrong, but I get some right too. PJ Washington with 3 blocks, a steal, had a 3-pointer, 18 points, 8 rebounds. Just a gem of a stat line from PJ Washington. And at some point, he has to get center eligibility because he is playing some center minutes. So I hope Yahoo gets it together and gives him that center eligibility. And when he has small forward, power forward, center eligibility, he's going to be so valuable. So I hope if you have PJ Washington on your team, comment below and let me know. I want to know what people in my Brock Lesnar Hoops Nation got my boy PJ Washington on their squad, dropping these wonderful stat lines. I expect to see more like these, especially while Cody Zeller is out. All right, those are the transaction trends for today. I'm probably going to do a separate video to do my discussion of the waiver wire pickups for the day. I'm going to try that, see how that works out. If you haven't yet, please like, subscribe, share this video, turn that thumb blue for me, click the bell notification so that you can be alerted when there are new videos of Brock Lesnar Hoops. All right, as always, thank you guys so much. Thank you for the support. Thank you for continuing to watch. Until next time, this is Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops.